Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev. Murray from the Curry. Coming live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all the traditional across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome Black, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? All these here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We're going to jump straight into it and we're going to catch up and have a yarn with Mitchell Stanley, one of the producers of We Are Still Here. Now, through the eyes of eight protagonists, we are still here. Traverses 1,000 years from past and present and future to explore swords and kinships, lost grief and resilience. But ultimately, it shows the strength of love and hope to overcome shared traumas that Indigenous people from Australia, New Zealand, and the South Pacific have continued to face. So, film that came out in 2022. We're going to catch up with yarn now with Mitchell Stanley on the line. Mitchell, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Where are you based, Mitchell?
I'm in Brisbane.
In Brisbane. And with that, Mitchell, we ask who you mob, where you're from. Mitchell Stanley, give us background, my friend.
Hey, brother. I'm Mitchell Stanley. I'm a Wiradjuri man. My mob's from Wellington, out near Dubbo, central New South Wales. And I was brought up in the west suburbs of Sydney.
Yeah, fantastic. Beautiful footprint. Now, we talk about what it means necessary to tell our story as First Nation people and use whatever medium, whether it be song, dance, film, art, whatever the case may be. And here we are. You've tied up with a few producers to create We Are Here, in spite of colonisation, racism, imperialism, and the attempted issue of Indigenous lives, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, filmmaking, I guess, is a contemporary medium, an extension of our storytelling, which we've been, you know, doing for tens of thousands of years as a part of our culture. And it's the medium I use as a filmmaker. You know, We Are Still Here was a collaboration between four Indigenous directors from Australia, Bet Cole, Danielle McLean, Dina Curtis and Tracy Rigney. And we worked alongside our brothers and sisters over in New Zealand with Māori and Samoan film.
Because there is a togetherness in regard to First Nation people of Australia and New Zealand in regard to colonisation, yes?
Absolutely. I mean, we as, you know, we're different mobs with different cultures and there are, you know, vast differences between us, but there's similarities between how they were treated and continue to be treated by the colonizers. So, yeah, and I mean, there are similarities in our cultures, but we are very different people. But coming together at the 250th anniversary, when there was many celebrations around Australia, New Zealand, the island, as the the arrival of the British, this film was our response, a collective and unified response to those celebrations, because, you know, whilst we live in a contemporary day under the Commonwealth banner, our voices aren't necessarily heard. And when we do speak out, making this film, I found working with brothers and sisters all around the country and also over there, we speak out and we get told, stop complaining. Well, if we didn't come, you wouldn't have this.
Bullet bridge, get over it.
Get over it, move on. It happened 200 years ago, 250 years ago. But what is missing from that conversation is our voice, and our voice usually, you know, is the same or if not similar to those overseas, is that, well, it didn't happen 250 years ago. You know, the oppression continues to happen just in a different way. And, you know, what you're taught in primary school and all throughout your school education, we're not trying to rewrite it. We're just giving you our version of events, and it may conflict with what's being taught. But, you know, there's a lot of argument, don't try to rewrite history. Like, well, no, we're just giving you the other side, and you're going to have to swallow it like we did. So
Exactly. So when we look at the film, We Are Still Here, is it short films in the one with different stories, is it?
No. I mean, that was the approach that was taken when it was a call-out from Screen Australia and NZFC. When we had come together, we all realised that that has been done in the Western way of filmmaking and storytelling, where you bring a band of filmmakers together and you make an anthology, we abandoned that really quickly, early stages of development, and we took on, a method that was quite unusual. And we were asked, why are you bringing everyone together so early, including editors and the cinematographer? You know, you don't do that to the late stage. And we said, well, our method of storytelling may be different, so our process is going to be different. And it's about sharing and coming together. So it was at that moment we abandoned the anthology and created one film with eight different characters' point of view to colonization, and that spans over time from pre-colonization up until, you know, hundreds of years in the future. And so we workshopped with each filmmaker this, like, on the individual scripts, and then we brought them all together and then worked, how do we weave these characters' stories together? So, you know, we may start with the first act of Daniel McLean's film, Lured, and then we jump into Dina Curtis's Woke, and they're woven through together. So they don't start and then end. They start and then we jump into another character, then to another character, then we come back to make one single narrative, really.
And there's messages, and you follow the messages, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. It's a message of strength, well, I would like to think. Every viewers will take away their own message, and they'll identify with one or character or another, but I feel that it's one of strength, resilience, and, you know, the continued existence of our people and our culture. So they're the messages I take away from the film, and I hope people see that, particularly our mob.
Exactly.
I hope they feel strengthened when they watch it and say, yeah, I'm heard, I've got a voice.
And not ignoring the powerful messages and the medium that you're using, but there's an opportunity, a platform there for actors, if not in their early careers, or actors at the table fulfilling their goals and dreams. That's a great platform, is it not?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we were lucky enough to work with a great ensemble, and the film itself has had many successes in, you know, touring. We got one of the top five film festivals in the world, Toronto International Film Festival. So, you know, the amazing faces and talent was seen overseas as well as, you know, domestically.
Yes.
Here we open Sydney Film Festival. There's, you know, they're getting recognised, you know, here at home, but also around the world. So, yeah, there's some fantastic actors. You know, Leonie Wyman, Lisa Flanagan, Maine Wyatt, who else have we got? We've got so many people. And,
exactly.
You know, like dancers like Deb Brown, who's been around for ages working with Bangara on stage, but now coming into her own in film and TV, not only as an actor, but from now moving into a director. You know, we don't have to be pigeonholed, and I think we are still here showcases, you know, that coming together, and abandoning the rules already that have been put in place in not just our industry, but upon our people. So,
and Mitchell, where can people see the film then?
Yeah, so we opened this week on Thursday. We did have a premiere in Alice Springs, which was sold out. So for anyone at Alice Springs, please check online to see if you can get a ticket as soon as possible. But
get a convoy of plane following you.
Hey, sorry?
You get a convoy of planes following you to the next delivery to every different city and town.
Yeah.
If they've missed out, you know. So Alice Springs have booked out. And so when's the next one, and how do you showcase it?
Well, we're playing for the next couple of weeks, predominantly, you know, in the smaller cinemas in capital cities, in Brisbane, Sydney, Alice, Adelaide, Perth, and Hobart, and like Melbourne, of course. So if you do check, I mean, just Google We Are Still Here and it will come up with the locations and the times nearest
you. Good.
So that's the easiest way to look, or check in with your local cinema.
Okay, and so let me ask you this, my friend Mitchell, if people were to miss out on those capital cities, where would they be able to see the film?
Nothing's been announced as yet.
Okay.
As to where it will be following up.
Sure.
So, yeah,
so lock in those dates and times, check out the itinerary and jump on board.
Yeah, please go and support, you know, Indigenous film. And the only way we get to continue to get our stories out there is if
support.
People go to see them at cinemas, you know. Otherwise, without that support from the viewers and the following, it makes it hard for us. So please support us in going to see the film.
Sure, beautiful. Mitchell, thank you for your yarn. Congratulations, my friend. And looking forward to, seeing the film. You take care. All the best to the team. And we'll yarn soon, my brother.
Thanks, my brother. You take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. A deadly yarn, beautiful yarn, and his name is Mitchell Stanley, one of the producers with the film We Are Still Here. And they are touring, but through the eyes of eight protagonists, we are still here. Traverses 1,000 years from past, present, future to explore stories and kinship, lost grief and resilience. But ultimately, it shows the strength and love, hope to overcome shared traumas that Indigenous people from Australia, as well as New Zealand and the South Pacific, have continued to face. So the stories you'll find are pretty true across the globe in regarding First Nation people and colonisation. And it is what it is, and by whatever means necessary, let's use the tools that are available to tell the story, educate people, and to empower. And look, there it is, fantastic. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Enter the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Dusty red highway, I got this freedom flowing wind in my hair, soaking up the wild desert country. All my worries are gone, I don't care. Hey mom, I can just taste your fish soup and rice. I'm coming back home to you. Cut at the place of the city life. Soon I'll be dreaming in blue. Soon I'll be dreaming in blue.
Yeah.
Soon I'll be dreaming in blue.
I'm different than you. You've got all you need.
not time to take away your suburban background. We won't be steering any ship down on your farm. My life is different to yours. What are you worried for? You got the money, you got the love. You got it all, but you're still on farm.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Levitate, it's like I'm in a skyscraper. You say we too high, but have faith. And baby, I know that you are the one. And feeling like me, plus you is a sum. And I don't even know what I'm saying right now. And we can figure this out.
Cause I can be the one. Let me take a dip in your waters. Backstroke your love until the morning. Cause I've been here before. But I don't wanna be too cautious, 'cause all I'm thinking, baby, is what if we fall? And baby girl, you know you wanna be my oh, oh, oh yeah, be my wife, be my life. Oh, oh, oh. What if we
thank you.
Yeah, Too Deadly Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black, as I, Trevor Tim, Trendy, Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns. That's on Yidinji Country, BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, your mob, and that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Looking at top stories in the news today, emergency services expect a very difficult day as 50 bushfires burn across Queensland. NBC News, a US military shoots down unidentified object over a Lake Huron. Other stories here, Daily Telegraph, hotspots, Sydney suburbs with the biggest property discounts. 26.8 million doses of COVID-19 vaccine wasted. Federal government unveils $424 million closing the gap plan. On the 15th anniversary of the apology to the stolen generation, the federal government unveils a $424 million closing the gap plan. The federal government has acknowledged there has been an enormous failure in attempts to close the gap between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians as it unveils a fresh national plan and hundreds of millions of dollars of funding aimed at improving the outcomes, improving life outcomes for Indigenous Australians. So, look, fantastic, and working towards closing that gap. David Warner's in shock development ahead of our second test India. Christine is among a rare group of novices in Australia. Hear how she's invaded COVID-19 so far. The dangerous new drug hitting Aussie streets, and Rudd's son had no idea he was famous. So they're the headlines for today's news. Tell us headlines happening in your news, in your world. All ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. And deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. And one hour program. Do we add to the program? Karagir, that's Ras Alpha here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim 20, Trevor Murray from Nukari, coming to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country. That's BB and Bumble Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we take National Talk Black across the country, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you saying, Yana Armstrong, 1-800-422-416. And now, VACHO, that's the Victorian Aboriginal Community Control Health Organisation, is deeply concerned following the release of two coroner's court of Victoria's reports, one of which focuses on fatal overdoses of Aboriginal and Torres Strait people, and the fatal overdose among Aboriginal and Torres Strait people, Victoria 2018-2021 report, states that the majority of fatal overdoses among Aboriginal and Torres Strait people were unintentional, emphasising the failure of alcohol and the other drug services, particularly in regional areas where many of deaths within the reports took place. Look, with that, we're going to catch up with have a yarn with Sister Cherie Lau, Executive Director of Social and Emotional Wellbeing at VACHO. Online, Cherie, very good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. How are you?
I'm good, Sister. Thank you very much for coming to the program. And before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Cherie?
Yeah. Cherie Lo, mob is Japarong Gunditjmara, so down in the southwest of Victoria on the coast there. Yeah.
Beautiful. Good footprint.
Dialing in from Wurundjeri country, actually, in here in Melbourne.
Lovely. Beautiful. Big shout-out to our mob across this country. Look, very important hat you wear, but we're talking VACHO, deeply concerned following the release of two coroner's court of Victoria reports, one of which focuses on the fatal overdoses of Aboriginal and Torres Strait people. Alcohol drug is a yucky tool, and it's killing our people. Please emphasize where VACHO sits in regard to the deeply concerned about the situation, please.
Yeah, sure. So on Friday, the Coroner's Court in Victoria released a second series. They've been producing an annual report into Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander suicide.
Mm.
This year they've extended their reports and are now releasing an annual fatal overdose amongst Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. So in the report, it's a report from 2018 to 2022.
Mm-hmm.
It looks into the deaths of 76 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who have died of a fatal overdose. There's a couple of things that concern us and where we sit in this. We're really concerned about a number of things. One, the lack of cultural safety and cultural safe services in the alcohol and other drug sector. So that's one of our concerns. The other of our concerns is just the disparity between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are three times more likely to die of fatal overdose than non-Aboriginal people here in Victoria, which, you know, that disparity in 2023 is just not okay.
Exactly.
And shouldn't exist. And then the third thing around that is that there's a lack of investment in our service system, and it's long overdue to be able to reinvest in the alcohol and drug sector here in Victoria, because the other concerning statistic in there of just over 80% of those overdoses were unintentional. So meaning that mob are not getting the support that they need to help deal with, like what you were saying before, help dealing with their trauma.
Yes.
And we know that from a mob perspective that people are just using alcohol and drugs as a tool to cope. We also know historically that alcohol was introduced into our communities, right, to control us.
Not part of our culture.
As a part of our culture, and we're here trying to fix the legacies of that. So it's really important that we get the investment in, and that people can, when they put their hand up to get the help that they need, that they actually can access services and culturally safe services in that.
Exactly. Now, VACHO, in partnership with Ballard Dun Dun Centre of Social Emotional Wellbeing, advocating for changes. What changes are we talking about there, Sister?
Yeah, a heap. Some that are probably common across our country, that we want to have detox and rehabilitation services that we don't have to wait for. Currently in Victoria, there's a significant wait list for detox and rehab services. And many of which who aren't culturally safe. So we want an investment in that. We want an investment in our Aboriginal community control detox and rehab. We can't emphasise enough the importance of having Aboriginal health in Aboriginal hands. It's the key to the success. But we also recognise that it's a big service system that we have to work within. We also want to see some gender-specific rehab facilities. We had a really unfortunate death and avoidable death in Veronica Nelson. And one of the recommendations that came out of her inquiry was the establishment of a gender-specific residential rehabilitation services. There's a lack of support for women down here in Victoria, and I'm assuming across the country, is really poor. And then another big part of that is just the working with our mainstream services to just ensure that we're working together in partnership and alongside each other to give our mob the best service that they deserve.
And we've got, it's got to come from First Nation people in regard to the foundation of so-called closing this gap in the communication. Nothing beats black on black, Cherie, you know, and so very important 100%. That we've got our black people front and centre and helping deliver the messages as well. When we hear messages, whether it be ads on TV or whatever the case may be, mainstream, it falls on deaf ears. We're not, because it's their space, we as black people would think, wouldn't we? We think that way, don't we?
That's exactly right. That's, we think that way all along. We think holistically. We think about all the interconnectedness. I think people from the outside looking in don't have an appreciation for the complexities and our ability of bringing all of that together in holistic models of care, how we see the world view. And what we're seeing here in Victoria, slowly and smallly, people can see benefit in that model of care. People can see benefit in the wisdom that our mob bring to the table, because that's how we've survived as a people, that we are resilient.
Exactly.
We are ability to be able to be flexible, but we live in the strength of our ancestors, people who have known and hold that wisdom for, you know, for eternity. And it's important for people to be able to bring that into the current day of any health and wellbeing service system.
Exactly.
If you get it right for our mob, everybody benefits from that.
Well, exactly,
not
you know.
Just the black thing.
Yeah, well, taxpayers as well, you know what I mean? Let's get it right. I mean, our people are dying, and this is the 21st century. We need to make some changes. So with the Victoria 2018-22 report, you use that as the vehicle in regarding showing the holes or the gaps that are happening. And where do you take this information to in regard to your fight for closing the gap? What happens now, Cherie?
Yeah, so for us, so the report was released on Friday, so we got an embargo copy of that the day before, so now we can start to plan around what we're going to do for that for our advocacy.
Yes.
So our first step and point of call, we've got a really strong working relationship with VADA, which is our alcohol and drug peak here in Victoria,
okay.
So us working alongside them in being able to go out into the sector, but obviously a big conversation sits within within lobbying with government. We've just had a mental health reform, and there's been significant investment in mental health, which has been long overdue. But what that's meant is that there's been a real pull from the mental health, from the AOD sector into the mental health sector. And as you know, we don't work in that way, because it's all kind of connected for us. So it's a conversation with them to kind of invest and see these challenges. But the tricky bit with alcohol and drug is that it is a state and federal funded kind of space. So there's kind of multiple different conversations that need to be had. But across the board, I think that the important thing is that we don't forget about these issues, and
exactly.
that we also don't just treat the symptoms. So looking at the stigma around alcohol and drugs and the narrative that kind of comes around that is very, very shallow in my view. Like, we don't talk about the driving forces of that, the intergenerational and transgenerational trauma. You know, the trauma is complex and it's deep.
Exactly.
And people don't want to talk about those things. They just want to kind of treat symptoms, which is not the solution.
No, that's right. We're only talking on scratch and surface, aren't we? We
that's
have to go
exactly
deep,
right.
And go deep is black people working with black people, and non-Indigenous yeah. people don't understand the generational trauma is what we're talking about.
No, that's right. And so, and you know, often we see, because people aren't looking at, in that service system, are looking at it from a white Western clinical approach.
Exactly.
There's a real...
there's a gap right there. It creates the gap.
That is the gap.
Yeah, and exactly.
If you address that gap, the other outcomes will come with that, like putting culture central and the importance of culture as a protective factor and investing in healing are things that, you know, our government hasn't always kind of been keen to do, which is the important ingredients, right, to closing the gaps that we talk about. Strong in culture, and then all the other health and wellbeing outcomes will flow on from that. If you've got somebody who's strong in identity, knows where they fit in, has been able to heal their traumas,
exactly,
then we wouldn't be talking about alcohol and other drugs. Just, suicides and those types of things. Like, it's about being able to bring back to the centre of our community our cultural ways of knowing, being and doing.
Exactly. Well, we're having a yarn here on National Talk Black, so the government do listen into our yarn. So here's another iron in the fire regarding closing that gap. But thank you for the yarn there, Cherie, and all the best to you, your family, your team, your mob. You stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, my sister.
No worries. Thanks, Trev. Talk soon.
Take care. Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there. Cherie Lowe, her name is, Executive Director at Ballet Dern Dern Centre. And look, talking about deeply concerned, VACHO, the Victorian Aboriginal Controlled Community Controlled Health Organisation, they're concerned about the following release of two coroner's court of reports, one of which focuses on fatal overdose of Aboriginal and Torres Strait people. And the Victoria Fatal Overdose Among Aboriginal and Torres Strait People Victoria report came out. 2018-22 was the report that came out, and a lot of holes there, so to speak, and regarding closing the gap is widened, and need to close the gap, need to work closely with First Nation health organisations to make sure that happens. So very important yarn there. Have your saying yarn up strong. 15 minutes ago on National Talk Black, and that deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Where you from, my brother? I come from there, from another side. Me, you call a Kungai. From Yoruba, where my people reside. All us Aboriginal people are divided into 500 different tribes, whom the white man tried to conquer when he first come here to the Bayan. Hey, me you call 'em Kungai.
Yeah, deadly track there. That's Barry Cedric. Where you from, my brother? And Barry Cedric, Yaraba. Good morning, Yaraba. Hope you're well. And a very good morning, BC. Barry Cedric, hope you're well, my brother. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yarn Up yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie. Coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service, 1-800-422-416. Now, the Galilea Coal Project dead in the water after Waratah Coal drops appeal against historic land court refusal. Queensland Land Records recommendation refusal of the massive Galilea Coal Project will stand after Waratah Coal dropped its legal appeal on Friday. It now falls to the Queensland Resource Minister, Scott Stewart, and the Queensland Department of Environment and Science to decide whether to use to issue the mining lease and environmental authority required for the project to proceed. Historically, ministers and departments have always followed land court recommendations. Waratah Coal's withdrawal of its appeal is welcomed by Youth Verdict and the Boomble Box Alliance, who argue before the land court the mine would destroy the nature refuge and infringe the human rights of people in Queensland, including the cultural rights of First Nations people, by contributing to dangerous climate change. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Mara Johnson, Youth Verdict First Nations led and co-director, and on the line. Mara, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, Wadamuli. I'm a Wirdi woman from the Birrigaba Nation. Stretching between Townsville and down south, north of Rocky. Also got connections to Kangaroo Nation and connections to Yimin and then Banji and Bigambul as well down in southwest Queensland.
Deadly footprint. Too deadly, my sister. And thank you for coming to the program. So, let the mob know who Youth Verdict First Nations led are.
Yeah, thank you. So we're a group of young people from diverse backgrounds, but we made a really conscientious decision to be led by our First Nations members. I'm lucky enough to be one of the co-directors, and with my campaign experience and a bit of work working for my mob and our family council in the fight against Adani in central Queensland,
yes.
The Adani mine there, have been able to take up the role of lead First Nations campaigner with Youth Verdict. Essentially, we believe that justice for First Nations people in Australia will equal, I guess, the shifts in values and attitudes that are required to, take action on climate change, to protect country, and also to value First Nations cultures as they should be valued first and foremost as, the real law of this land, and hoping that our work can, with the focus of litigation, really make the process for mob who want to take up court cases a little bit easier when it comes to defending their country against big projects that really up until now have always been, granted their approvals without regard for the loss of culture that mob have to experience through that sort of development. We're always the sacrificed people, and we're always the ones who have to lose in order for everyone to win. And want to be, through this court case and other work that we want to do, hoping that we can do our part in calling for justice for mob and, getting the rest of white Australia in line with those core principles.
Exactly. Mara, it sounds like you always like to jump in the arena of David and Goliath, so to speak. The little guys versus the big guys, but fight the good fight, sister.
Yeah, oh my gosh, thank you. I think that's the story of our people, though. We've always stood up for what's right, stood up for everybody else as well. We have been relegated to the lowest on the social racial hierarchy in Australia and the mainstream, but we are just superstars. We outperform and outshine at every opportunity, so it's about building on that power too.
So the Galilea Coal Project dead in the water, so there's a win there, hey?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And they definitely made sure to do it on a Friday afternoon so that, you know, it could be a little bit quiet over the weekend. But we've come out, I guess, with, you know, swinging this morning. And just so overjoyed at the news. I want to do a big shout out to all of the First Nations witnesses as well. Diddy 4 Mile, Uncle Harry Ludwig, Ate Kapua, Gatchin, Aka Florence, Gatchin, and also my auntie Lala Gatchin as well. Their evidence of culture and country and, you know, the observations of climate and the impacts that it's having, the negative impacts that it's having to mob, I think, you know, was really the heart of this case. Like, yes, there's all the technical stuff. We've got the climate experts, you know, the emissions experts and all of that stuff. But really, I think we, you know, early on kind of came to the agreement that storytelling is our strength as First Nations people. And so what story did we want to tell through, you know, this court case? And with the on-country evidence, taking the land court up to bringing them up here to Gimoy, and then also taking them up into the Torres Strait as well. It was about, you know, shifting that story where it's like, it's all about development, it's all about, you know, the economy and the profits that, you know, they argue that coal mining will bring. But we really wanted to put a shift on that and kind of challenge it to say, but at what cost, you know? And the colonial experience has been, we've lost out so much from that, and I think it's time that we start winning now. So thinking about what are our strengths and, you know, what do we want? What message do we want
exactly.
them to know?
So powerful. And the, how you say, the little people speak up and flex their muscles. Youth Verdict, First Nations led. It should be across the nation, my sister.
Oh, that's the hope, hey. We're just a little small group of like three, four of us at the moment based in Queensland, but we definitely want to expand. It's actually the Queensland Human Rights Act that really, I think, gave rise to the case. And so that came into effect in 2020, and the only other state that has one is actually Victoria. So I think, you know, the push for more human rights charters to, you know, be adopted by all the states, I think, or, you know, a federal human rights legislation that adopts the principles of the United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People, I think.
Look, it's fantastic, and look, I'm just saying, so fantastic, and the little people are having a win there, but look, we should be at the table with all conversations when it's concerning our land, you know, and you know, traditional land, and we should have a say in what goes on, you know, and if we disagree with it, then that should be heard, and it has been heard.
Exactly. I think the intersection of that is the UNDRIP, the United Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, although it's soft law, so it's, you know, international law, it can't really be enforced unless it's adopted domestically, but in there they have the right to free, fair and informed consent, which I think is the most important of all of them, where, you know, they have, it's pushing for veto power and, you know, nothing about us without us, nothing on our land without us.
Exactly. And so simple, isn't it, the argument? But, look, thank you for sharing, my sister. Smile on your doll. Big shout-out to your team there. And congratulations to Traditional Owners on the Land. Will Yarn soon, Mara Johnson. All the best, my sister.
Too deadly. Thank you for having me on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you, all the folks who've been supporting throughout.
Too deadly. Too deadly. Thank you, sis. A beautiful Yarn, Mara Johnson, Youth Verdict co-director and First Nations program led in the Galilea Coal Project, dead in the water after Waratah Coal drops appeal against historic land court refusal. So there it is. And that's the little guys fighting, you know, David and Goliath, little guys fighting for against the big giants and had a win. So There's light at the end of the tunnel, and about fighting a good fight. With that, Trendy Trev signs off here with that daily program, National Talk Black. That's for today. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. That daily number, 1-800-422-416. Thank you for your company. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. We'll yarn soon, you mob. Too deadly.